want to get into the Word today. I hope this is a message that is fitting for Mother's Day. Just want to, it's part of our decisions sermon series about how to make good decisions. And I know people in here, you want to make good decisions, don't you?
Yes.
I've made some bad decisions before, you know, going to the wrong restaurants, making, you know, those are just little things. But we have all made bad decisions, haven't we? We've made some bad decisions in our past, made some decisions there that we regretted. But God wants us to move from regret to restoration. You don't have to live your life in regret. And I guess I could say this morning that some of us probably do live in regret today. Living in regret, not really moving forward in the Word of God and in what God has called us to do. But I'm here today to challenge you to have a change of attitude about your life. You don't have to have a self-pity party, okay? You don't have to be a victim. You can, and I know it sounds like a cliche to some people, but you can be a victor. You can live in victory. And we don't have to be self-centered or self-focused, but we can be God-focused. And I really believe that when we focus on the Lord, things begin to happen in our lives, And so, a question, is your attitude worth catching? Is your attitude worth catching? You know, your attitude determines where you go in life. Your attitude will affect the decisions that you make. If you wake up in the morning and you don't look at that day as a day where you can give your all in helping someone with a bright outlook, then if you don't look at it that way, then you're not going to give, of course, your best for that day. And I believe that God wants us to give our best, don't you? I believe that He wants us to live a life of excellence. And so today I want to talk to you about relationships. You knew I was going there, didn't you? You knew it. You knew I was going there. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, we see Jesus, He's talking in figurative language. We do take a literal approach to the Word of God, to the Bible. But a lot of times, Jesus uses figurative language in order to prove point, in order to prove the point of His message. And so God has called us to have good, godly relationships. And who here likes to hang around really negative people? I don't think anybody does. I mean, if you do, then I guess whatever floats your boat, you know. But negativity can really drain a person. It can really drain a person. The words that come out of your mouth can really make you or break you. You know, a lot of times we speak life or we speak death. The Bible says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Your attitude, what the words you say, and the actions you make determine where you go in your life. Who in here wants to go in the right direction? I want to go in the right direction. And you know what? We're not alone in going in the right direction, because I'm here to declare that we, every one of us in here, we're going in the right direction. The right direction. And I believe that God is going to use us in a mighty way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. And I believe I covered everything for Sunday evening. I'm really excited about that, by the way, because everybody's going to be involved. Everyone's going to be involved in the work of the ministry. That's what I love about it. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. He says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Now, when I was a kid, when I read that, I had no idea what Jesus was talking about. I was like, what in the world is He talking about here? Well, today we're going to find out what this verse really means. Because Jesus tells us in this verse that we shouldn't waste our time, energy, or money, or put too much thought into honoring individuals who don't even care about what we are doing for them. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Didn't know that. Now, as a pastor, as a preacher, man, I love to help people. Man, I will help them. I'll go out of my way to help them. But if they refuse it and don't appreciate it or even acknowledge it, then why should we waste our energy, time, effort in order to, because if people don't want help, then you really can't help them. Are you with me today? And a lot of times we will try to form relationships or alliances with people, and this is a biblical teaching this morning, okay? It's not just coming from me, it's coming from Jesus. And a lot of times we will cast the pearls. What does the pearls represent? It represents what God has given us, the wisdom that we have gotten over time. The pearls form over a long period of time. It takes a while for pearls to be formed. And those pearls represent the wisdom that you've accumulated over all these years. If I try to disciple someone and mentor them, they don't appreciate the time that I give them, right? The effort that I give them, but they don't acknowledge it or appreciate it. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before them. He says you need to move on and invest in someone who will appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen. And God is saying, look, you need to be careful what kind of relationships you get into, because if you're, let me talk to single people. Can I talk to single people today? Right, can I talk to you? Somebody's clapping their hands. Listen, if you're dating someone and they don't want to pray with you, red flag. If you're dating someone and they don't want to go to church with you, red flag. If you're dating someone and they don't want to get a job, red flag. Amen. Right? These things, we have to really, don't cast your pearls before the swine, the pig. This is what Jesus is saying in this verse. He says, don't cast them. And what we do, we cast our pearls, our wisdom, our effort, and we keep throwing our efforts at people who don't, they don't want change. All they want someone to do is listen to them, right? Right? They just want complaints. He's up here backing me up, by the way. He's saying amen, hallelujah. And so God is saying, look, be careful of the relationships you get into. You want the relationships and your friendships and your associations to give God the glory. To give God the glory so he may get the praise and the worship. So Jesus uses the example of swine or pigs to describe this category of people who couldn't care less about what you're trying to tell them. Have you ever talked to people and you try to warn them, they don't even care what you're saying? Right? They don't care. Why should I listen? Why should I listen to the Word of God? Why should I listen? Now, we tell them the Word of God, we pray for them, we warn them, and we try to encourage them. But don't you wear yourself out and worry yourself, y'all with me? Now, you pray for them, you encourage them, but if you're wearing yourself out trying to get somebody to change that won't change, and by the way, you can't change them. And what we try to do, we worry ourselves to death because we're trying to get somebody to change, trying to get them to change. You can't change them. But one thing you can do, you can pray for them. You can pray for them, and you can tell them about the love of God. But listen, you can't throw all of your time, money, effort, and energy into people who don't care about what you're telling them. Hello. Right? Now, are we called to help people? Yes, hallelujah. That is the gospel. Love God, love people. But if we get into relationships where we're being drained, where we're being emotionally drained, where it's always negative, 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 man, you've got to cut that off and say, I want God in my life. I want God in my life. And let's talk about gossip right now. Can we talk about that? You say, do we have to have this conversation right now? Yes, we have to have this conversation. Yes. We have to have the tough conversations, right? Let's use some examples right here. If you hear someone talking about maybe the pastor, or if you hear someone talking about somebody in the church, you know what you need to tell them to do? Let me call the pastor right now. Let's talk. Let's get this worked out. Right? Or if you hear someone talking about someone in the church and it's not good and it's negative and they start saying things, just hold it right there. Let me call this person. Let's just talk about this and have this really tough conversation right now. And that way you get to the root of the problem and it doesn't give time for the poison to spread. Because what happens is when people start talking about each other, let me tell you how it starts. You know what? I just don't know about him. Do you? Oh, here's a good one. Y'all ready for this one? I've got a prayer request. But But let me go into details about what we're going through. And the prayer request is not really a prayer request. It's actually a gossip statement to let people know, this is what's going on in this person's life. I really wanted to tell you, but I'm going to disguise it into a prayer request. Can I get an amen? Right? And so we have to be careful about these relationships, because there are people who love to gossip. I mean, they live for it. Man, they could make a really good living by doing it. And they love it. They love to gossip. They love to talk about people. And for some reason, they can't go a day without talking about people. But what if, listen to this, let's say this. What if we saw the success of others as our own success? Man, that was hard. But what if we saw the success of others as our own success? Man, if we really saw through that filter and if we really saw through that lens, nobody would be talked about. Listen, there would be no rumors. Can I get an amen? Amen. There would be no rumors. There would be no miscommunication. Nobody would be talking about each other. Man, they'd be like, focused on God, not on you. Focused on Jesus, not on you. Focused on Jesus and not on self. Where we begin to focus on God and worship the Lord and say, you know what? We're not perfect people, but we are going to heaven and we are going to take people with us. But if we are talking about each other, no one will get saved. No one will get changed. No one will get transformed. Please don't talk about each other. Relationships. If gossip becomes the main part and the main topic of your conversation, man, you're really doing the devil's work really, really good. Amen. So let's talk about what Jesus said in this verse. How many's ever seen a pig they just kind of, waller, in the mud, Well, that's a southern word. Excuse me, waller. They waller in the mud, right? They roll around in the mud. And when it's time to eat, let's eat, right? But they don't really contribute. Did y'all catch that? Right? So pigs, swine, are takers. And they will take from you. And when you can't give them anything else, they'll turn and tear you into pieces. I just read it. Let's read it. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. There are really negative people. You can invest, and when you can't give them anymore, they'll turn around and tear you in pieces. Y'all catch that? I'm not getting a lot of amens, but I know you're amening me in your mind. They're consumers. They take. Listen, they never think to ask where the food came from or who paid for it or what process was required to produce it. They're just mindless, careless consumers. And when you stop giving to them, they will turn their back on you and want nothing else to do with you. You've got to cut that off. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's a pruning that has to happen at times in our lives. See, some people need help, but all they want is your time and energy. They don't have any intention of changing or doing anything you suggest. Right? Right? I don't call it counseling anymore because I'm not a professional counselor. I give spiritual direction.
Amen.
I just give spiritual direction. And so what it is, when I direct some people, they come to me. Some of them, they don't want to do what I suggest. They just come in and say, well, I hope you can confirm what I want to do already. And the preacher will tell me that I can go ahead and do what I want to do. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's good for you in the long term. Right? And so there's some people that don't have any intention. They have no intention on changing. As a pastor, I can tell you about people I've tried to help. And when I couldn't help them anymore, they accused me of being unloving. Then I would, you call yourself a Christian? Okay, do you see the guilt? Playing the guilt game, playing the manipulation game. You call yourself a Christian? You're not going to help me anymore? How dare you? You call yourself a Christian? How? The church. I don't like the church anymore because you don't have anything to give to me. Y'all catch that? And so the church really exists to get people saved. To get people saved and to see people change. And when we really understand that, we won't have a consumer mentality. We'll have a contributor mentality. Amen. And God wants us to contribute to Him. See, people must never take you and the pearls of your life for granted. If that starts happening, stop giving to them until their attitude changes. Did y'all catch that one? Until their attitude changes. But what if you are the one who has been acting like a mindless consumer of other people's time, energy, right? What if you are the one that is like that? Can we ask that question? Am I a mindless consumer? What if God's calling me to contribute, right? What if God is calling me to take the step forward and obey Him, right? And walk by faith. What if it's God telling me? Well, if you are the one, if that's the case, then it's time for you and me to stop acting like a pig. Amen, church. Right? And so it's time for us to quit acting like the world rises and falls on whether or not one person gets with a program. Listen, I tell people, listen, if you don't want to come to church here, fine. Right? If you don't want to come, fine. But don't go around talking about the church or running your brothers and sisters in the ground. Listen, if you're going to move on, just move on. Right? But if you're going to stay, let's see people get saved. Let's see people get changed. Let's see people get transformed. Because I believe in growing up. Right? I believe in growing up and not acting like a child anymore. Right? Paul said, when I became a man, I put away gossip. Right? I put away talking about people. I put away childish things. And I start forgiving. And I start helping. For emphasis. So God wants us to give. God wants us to give. We need to understand that negativity, God does not want negativity in the church or even outside the church. Here's a statement. In helping people, there is an extent where we help people. But sometimes you have to let their actions cause them problems. Listen closely. Please listen. You have to let their actions cause them problems and not your actions cause them problems. Because consequences are a really, really good teacher. And sometimes people will not listen to you. Even you warn, you pray, you tell them. But sometimes we have to allow people, if they don't listen, and you tell them and you tell them, you have to allow them to make that action in order for them to learn from that consequence. And guess what? The Creator is still there even though you're dealing with the consequences. But you're learning through that consequence, because I'm telling you, disobedience is very, very costly. Very costly. And consequences, when we don't obey God, when we don't follow the guidelines of God's Word, man, it costs us big time. But guess what? God's still there. Amen. And don't want to make you shout, jump up and down, run the aisles. God is still there. Right? And some of you, you may be experiencing a consequence of your past right now. You may be. You may be going through a consequence. But you got to remember that the Creator is still there, even though you're suffering from that consequence. Can I give an amen on that one? God's still there. But we have to understand that. Sometimes we have to draw a boundary. Everybody say boundary. And you have to let those people experience some trouble in their life. Some people don't need to be rescued all the time. They need to be changed. And sometimes you have to allow them to go through things so that they can change. Because if we rescue, they will never take responsibility for their own actions. You say, Brother Sam, that's hard. Jesus is preaching it right here. Matthew 7:6. Right? Sometimes you have to let people, you have to teach them to take responsibility for their own actions. And you say, well, how do you get freedom when you take responsibility for your life? That's how you get freedom. And people say, I want to be free. Right? I'm entitled. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of the entitlement and say, you know what? Yes, I've got grace. God gave me mercy. He gave me forgiveness. But I understand that I have to take responsibility for my life and for my actions. And that if I won't change, then I've got to understand that it starts with me.
Amen.
I said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot criticize the change you want to see. You cannot criticize the change you want to see. You have to be the change you want to see. And if you be the change you want to see, you won't have to criticize the change you want to see. Because you're being the change. Because I can tell you lots of people, and I'll be guilty of it myself. Well, this person right here don't need to do that. That person right there about being a model, not a critic. Right? Right? You get a coach is different from a critic. Amen. You have people in the stands. How many seen them in football? How many's been to a football game? Right, football game? Of course we have. A football game, whatever game, and there are people in the stands, they will holler out, if I was that coach, I wouldn't have made that decision. And they never coached a day in their life. Right? If I was that player, I would have jumped or whatever, you know. If I was that player, I would have done that. And so all they know to do is criticize, and they have no relationship with this person. But if they have a relationship with a person and go into coaching mode because they've been there before, see, you can give me theories all you want. But when you've been there, that's respect. Amen, church.
Amen.
You've been there. And so what happens is if we're not careful, going back to the gossip thing, if we're not careful and we start gossiping and we start being critical of people, talking about people, we won't see the results we want to see. And I'm telling you right now, if there's gossip, the church will not grow. Right? And guess what? Not only will the church not grow, you won't grow. Right? Because you'll be doing the enemy's work for him. And so God has called us to tell the gospel, not gossip. Right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So God is calling us to do that. And so we need to understand that we need to value the word of God. See, listen, when you listen to gossip, you're valuing garbage. And you hear it goes in your ear, you're garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. You take the garbage in, guess what's going to come out of you? Garbage. Nasty. Filthy. Right? Bringing people's past. Right? Bringing up things. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. Y'all ready? If you are going to do something remarkable, if you are going to do something that is awesome, and you're doing it for God, you're going to get criticized. It's just going to happen, right? Let's say you take a position in ministry or a position in leadership or whatever. You're going to get criticized. But if you let that voice be stronger than the voice of truth, you won't get anywhere. But when you understand that this is the voice you listen to most of the time,
amen,
rather than the critics, rather than those people that always talk about people because they ain't got nothing better to do, they don't have a life. In fact, they need to get eternal life. Right? Talk about people. Get alive. Right? Get alive and get into the house of God and start investing into the body of Christ and say, you know what? I'm not going to act like a kid anymore. I'm going to act like a grown up.
Amen.
I'm going to act my age. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So God has called us. Listen, and if someone is, if they start being negative all the time, negative, negative, cut it off and say, we don't have to do that. We don't have to talk about that first. We don't have to do that. Right? And if they keep on, just get your phone out. Let me call so-and-so. We'll go ahead and talk about it right now. Let's talk about it. Let's have the conversation. Let's have it. Right? If you got the guts to talk about somebody to me, then I'm going to call the number and say, let's talk about it now. Because I don't have time for that junk. Amen. Don't have time for it. Because I've got better things to do. Like preaching the gospel. Winning people to the Lord. And actually coaching you. And not being critical of you. And go fishing. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask you this question. Are you being responsible? Are you being responsible and unhappy while the person you are casting your pearls before is irresponsible and happy. Because you're trying to live this very responsible life, but the people you keep investing in are not responsible. And so you're being miserable, and those people are happy because they're not taking the brunt of their actions. Let that sink in, what I just told you. They need to take, listen, if they keep going that route, listen, if they keep going that route and keep taking that direction, you let them go. And you pray for them. And I didn't say leave them. I did not say stop praying for them. I didn't say leave them. But you have to let them take responsibility for their own actions and let them learn. Let them learn. And when they listen, through experience is a great teacher. A great teacher. Right? Because a lot of times we're young. I was a teenager at one time. You didn't believe that, did you? Actually, probably did. You know, and when I was a teenager, man, there were times where I thought, man, I know what I'm doing, right? And everybody's saying, oh my gosh, look what you're doing. Look, and I didn't see it. So you young people, listen. Tell me, listen to the people who have gray hair. Yeah. Listen to the people who are going bald. Listen to the people who have been there. Listen. Listening will get you way much more than talking will. People who talk more than they listen don't really go anywhere much. But if you listen, be swift to hear, right? Be swift to hear, slow to speak. And if we have an attentive heart, we will learn things, and then we can apply those things. All right, y'all ready for Galatians chapter 6?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, you can turn over there if you would like. And I'm there already. Verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What's Paul saying in this verse? He's saying, look, if you see that person and they're wanting to change, they're wanting help, you restore that person. Well, what if they did this? What if they did that? What if they did this? Paul doesn't say anything about that, does he? He does not say anything about that. He says, you restore that person. You bring him to restoration. Right? Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Each one shall bear his own load. Now in verse 2 he says bear each other's burdens, right? Let's say you go through a tragedy or you're going through a crisis. We are here for each other. We are here for each other. Whatever you're going through, we help, we carry each other's burdens. We do. And the Greek word for that is excess, which means there's more than you can carry right there. But then he uses a different Greek word in verse 5 where he says, and each one must carry their own what? They must carry their own load. What happens is we try to carry that load that person is supposed to carry. You with me? And that person represents an irresponsible person who thinks they're entitled, right, to everything. And I don't have to work for it. Y'all with me? But everyone is supposed to carry, you have a load. I have a load that I'm supposed to carry personally. But there is another load where we are supposed to carry each other's burdens through a tragedy or through a crisis or whatever we're going through that we can't make it on our own. But what happens is we try to worry people with a load that we are supposed to carry. And we don't draw boundaries. And what happens is we form relationships that are not giving God glory that are not helping anybody because we don't want to take the responsibility to carry our own load. Now, did this, you say, Brother Sam, that comes from the Bible? Yes, that's what the Bible says. And you'll know when I'm preaching up here, I preach straight from the Word of God. Right? I preach straight from the Bible, whatever God says. And there are some things, listen, you are responsible. I'm going to tell you this, and I know you heard me say it a lot, and I'm not trying to, I don't have a gavel up here trying to, you know, but I'm telling you, you are responsible for your actions. You really are. You are responsible for your choices. And as long as you blame people, there will be no change. It was so-and-so's fault, or it was everybody's, it's this country's fault. It's ever, listen, it's nobody's fault. You are responsible for your decisions and your choices. And when you understand that and you own up to it and say, you know what, I might have been dealt a bad hand. How many thinks, I think I've been dealt a bad hand in some areas, right? But I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. I can say, you know what, I'm going to make some better choices from now on. I'm not defined by my mistakes. Amen. I'm not defined by my failures. I'm not defined by my sins. I am defined by what God says. And if you'll get that in your spirit, that you are defined by the Word of God and by what God says about you, you won't even be depressed. Right? You won't even be depressed. You won't even have to deal with sadness because you understand where your approval and your definition and your identity comes from. It comes from the Lord. And since it comes from the Lord, I don't have to blame other people. I can take responsibility and say, you know what? The Lord says I must carry my own load. He's going to help me carry my own load. I'm not going to try to guilt people, try to manipulate people, try to worry people to carry my load. I've got to carry my load. And by the grace of God, I'm going to carry it. And I'm not going to worry you to death about it. But when we have these excess burdens, these things that we go through, that we can't do these things on our own, that's when we come together. And we help each other and carry each other's burdens. Right? But don't you go blaming the pastor for some of those choices you made. Don't you go blaming the staff. Don't you go blaming somebody else. Right? You made the choice. It's your decision. And I tell people this. I say, look, you're not saved. It's your choice today. You pick heaven, right? I don't want to sound old-fashioned. I just want to be biblical. You pick heaven or hell, right? I just want to be biblical. Amen. Right? You can pick Jesus or the enemy, right? There's no neutral ground, is there? It's your decision. And you know what? Today, your whole life can change. From one decision, you'll have a different perspective, a different lens to look through, a different outlook. Because you have a different identity. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can change. One decision will change the rest of your life. But if you don't want it, God's not going to force himself on you. Listen, you can keep right on doing what you're doing, right? You can, let's say you're wealthy, right? I've got money. I've got a house. I've got these things. I'm not in need. Anyone that says they're not in need is really in need. And they say, man, my life is going good. Do you see how that can be deceiving? My life is great, right? I found the love of my life. And we're happy together. And we got the house. And we got the white picket. Y'all with me? I'm not saying that's wrong. But that can be a god. That can be idolatry. Because really, life, Jesus said, life does not consist in the abundance of things that you possess. Life consists of Jesus, of the things of the kingdom of heaven. And when we understand that, we won't be so caught up on whether or not we get the boat, or whether or not we get the house, or whether or not we get these things. Listen, they are things. And the best things in life aren't things. That wasn't part of the notes. That's why I'm preaching though. It's an overflow, right? Overflow of the Spirit. I'm telling you, materialistic, we have a materialistic view. We got to get away from that, right? We got to get away from the gossip, right? We got to get away from the critical spirit. We got to get away from the criticism. If we get away from that and we say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about people. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make a decision. How many wants to make that decision today? We don't do things. Listen, we do things together. How many is going to make the decision today that you're not going to be have a critical spirit? Right? And you're not going to call somebody. I'm going to raise my hand. Yeah. Hi. Right? I'm not going to have a critical spirit. Right? If I see a disagreement, I understand that the relationship can still stay there.
Amen.
We can actually have a relationship through disagreement. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We can. We can have relationships that give God the glory. And Jesus said this, by your love for one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. I want to give you this story here. Jesus went into the town of Nazareth, right? And he said he could not do mighty works there because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. He couldn't do no mighty works. Well, Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time there. It was with the message on. Right? Because of unbelief. Listen, Jesus has boundaries too. God has boundaries too. Is he not a holy God? Right? Do we not get convicted or when we do something wrong? Or I mean, yes. I mean, it's there because I understand God's a holy God. And I want to be in true fellowship with him. Right? I want to be in true fellowship with him. And if I want to make a decision that's pleasing to him, then maybe it's time we make a decision. You make a decision. There's some of you, you're fixing it, and I'm in closing because I don't keep people like Pharaoh did in the Old Testament. You may have something in your personal life that nobody knows about right now, and it's a decision that could change the whole direction of your life. I'm telling you, it could change your life. And some of you haven't even made a decision yet. Maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe it's a decision about your heart. Is your heart even right with God? If you doubt that today, if you doubt, am I right with God? You can make that decision today to get rid of the doubt. And I'm a simple man. I try to make it simple as possible. Do you want Jesus or do you not want Jesus? Do you want the church? Right? Or do you not want the church? Amen. Today is decision time. Amen. It's decision time. What decisions am I going to make today? What decisions are you going to make today? Single people. What decisions are you going to make when it comes to dating? Are you going to follow God's guidelines when it comes to dating? Are you going to follow God's guidelines? Married people, are you going to follow God's guidelines? What God has to say about relationships? Business people, are you going to follow God's principles and his guidelines for the business you own? Employee, are you going to follow God's guidelines of respecting your employer, even though your employer may get on your nerves sometimes? Right? Do these things matter to us? And if we make these decisions that are based on God's word and not based on what we feel on a day-to-day basis, we will see a true, lasting change in our lives. And here's what we do. We won't change. Lord, give me change. Give me change. Give me change. And all it is talk and no action. But when you show action, listen, people will let you know if they want help or not. Anybody can say, hey, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. Well, of course, I mean, everybody, you can say that, it's easy to say. But your actions will tell me whether or not you want help. Right? And I tell people, I say, it's important, right? And I'm not trying to be old-fashioned again, but I'll tell people, it's important. I actually believe it's important to come to church. Amen. To hear the Word of God. Y'all with me? I actually believe it's important. But the people I tell sometimes don't come to church. Therefore, they don't hear the word. They have no word preaching, right? They're not connected with the body of Christ. They're not connected. and they're not getting the help they need. You say you want it, but what's your actions? What does your actions tell me? Right? I was talking to someone the other day, an employer. He said, if I can just get somebody to show up on time, if I can just get somebody to just actually show up, they tell me they want a job, they tell me they want to work, they tell me they need this, but they don't show up. Their actions tell me differently. Their actions tell me they don't really want help. They don't want change, but their mouth tells me that. And listen, if you really want change, and if you really want to get saved, you'll raise your hands up and say, God, save me. I am a wretched man. Lord, save me. I need help. And some of us today, we thought about coming to the altar. We really have. We thought about it. We say it at times, but we don't really come to the altar, right? We say we need these things, but if you'll show some action, and let God know, God, I'm in business right now. I'm going to take some action. I really mean it. Right? I love God. Show some action. Right? People say, I give to the king. I give. That, if you keep telling people you give, you don't really give. Because you have to tell people. And if you have to keep telling people that you give, then you probably don't really give. God is wanting us to move from talk to action. Can I give an amen?
Amen.
I've been preaching for an hour now, I think. Who in here? Is God telling you? Listen, there's got to be a change in your life. Listen, if you keep going the way you're going right now, you better change. You better make a decision to change the way you're going. Because I don't want you to leave here today and you say, well, the pastor gave a watered-down message. He watered down the God. He watered down the Word. And he tickled everybody's ears, right? And he made everybody think they're over. Listen, some of you need to change in your life. You got to change. I'm telling you, if you don't change, you're going down the road of destruction. Change. Make a decision. Don't leave here without making a decision, okay? Make a decision. Make a choice for change. And I'm standing up here. I'm giving you an opportunity. God gives you an opportunity. Yes, they can of your life. And right now, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to make it right. To have a change of heart and say, you know what? I'm tired of traveling this road. I've got to stop blaming people. I need to take responsibility for my own choices and my own actions. Amen. I've got to get away from this, and I need to take responsibility for my own life. And if you want freedom, you're going to have to take responsibility. And right now, if you are not right, listen, we're not right with God. Listen, we don't judge people. You know why? You know why we don't judge people who are not right with God? Because we've been there too. I've been there. This is open. And I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to pray with you. And if you listen, and if you're on the road to destruction right now, and if you're on a road that God is not pleased with, God wants you to change, listen, you've got to change. You've got to make that decision. You're tired of Don't raise your hand. Are you tired? Are you tired of the choices that you can make? Are you tired of life? Are you tired of it? You tired? Tired of making those same choices over and over again, wanting to change. You can make a choice today that can change the rest of your life. Y'all hear me? So as they get the music ready, we'll give you a choice today. God is giving you a choice. This is an opportunity. You can change your life for the better. You can change your life for the good. Listen. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. You gotta make a change. You gotta make a decision. Right? The ball is in your court. What do you want to do now? Are you gonna slam dunk it? Or are you just gonna throw the ball out of court? Or are you gonna make a decision that's gonna be pleasing to God? Are you gonna play music up there? I didn't know. dragging on.